This is JP Pomnikowski. Every day we travel through our city and community on streets named for city founders, on roads named for natural features, on routes named for historical figures, fruits and vegetables, mythological people and places, parts of our state's history, and we hardly think about how we've named these routes. What's in a name? Let's take a look at our Bozeman and Gallatin County street names.
I'm J.P. Pomnikowski here with John Russell, a local Bozeman historian, author of articles and books on local history. John, thanks for joining me.
You bet. I'm glad to be with you.
We're talking about place names in the Bozeman and the Bozeman area, named for some of the local founders and local original personalities. So let's start with the namesake himself, John Bozeman.
A Southerner from Georgia. Left his wife and three daughters to come out west. He followed in the footsteps of his father, who left his family prior to that to go to the California Gold Rush.
Wow.
But John Bozeman emulated him to the extent that, yeah, he went west trying to find gold, kind of bobbed and weaved his way around the west, finally ended up in Bannock right after the Bannock strike, and figured out standing up to his neck in ice-cold mountain water trying to find gold was just not his cup of tea. So he tried to find something else, and at about the time that Bannock existed, and then simultaneously Virginia City, there were some settlers who founded a community up at the Three Forks, Gallatin City. Bozeman got in on that. But as Bozeman roamed around the area, he had enough foresight to realize that this section of the valley was more fertile, more attractive, because it was kind of on the path. And he decided he was going to help solidify that path. And by that, I mean, as people came out to the territory in those days to mine for gold or maybe establish farms or ranches, typically they followed the Oregon Trail all the way to Fort Hall,
right,
near present-day Pocatello, and then headed north over either Moneda Pass or Bannock Pass. They could drop into Bannock and from there go over to Virginia City or go wherever they wanted. Bozeman, talking to an old trapper by the name of Jacobs, learned about a series of old Indian trails that went across the Bighorn Basin in present-day Wyoming.
Oh,
shortcut.
Wow.
So, to make a long story short, he and Jacobs went down, tried to bring up a train, their first effort. And
a wagon train, you mean?
Yeah, very small one. And in their first effort, they were stopped near Buffalo, Wyoming, by Sioux and Cheyenne, who said, "Turn around, will you?
Mm-hmm.
This is ours," in so many words. So they did, but Bozeman and a handful of men snuck on to the west side of the Bighorn Mountains, made their way up to the Clark's Fork, and came that way.
What has become the Bozeman Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It had so many names, the Montana Trail, but the Bozeman Trail is the one that took off. But it really wasn't established until the next year when Bozeman went down again, this time got another wagon train, and successfully led it all the way up on what, became the Bozeman Trail, and dropped into town. While he was doing that, Daniel Rouse, along with Mr. Bell, laid out a town site here.
Wow.
And established the community of Bozeman. And in a meeting of the Claims Association, the first meeting of the Claims Association, they decided to name the new town Bozeman. This was a group of people who had come up the Bozeman Trail initially to find gold, like W.W. Alderson and his brother. But once they saw the Gallatin Valley and the potential for agriculture, they said, well, the heck with the gold fields, we'll just stay here. And a lot of people did that. And so they decided to name the town Bozeman. And then pretty soon after that, they wished they hadn't.
Why is that, John?
A little controversy. Number one, John Bozeman was a Southerner. He was a Democrat in a primarily Republican community,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And as a Southerner, most of the people here were from Ohio, Pennsylvania, your northern states. The Civil War, or as a lady from North Carolina politely told me, the War of Northern Aggression, was still going on. You did have some Confederate veterans coming out here, deserters, and also from the Union Army. So in a pro-Union, pro-Lincoln town, John Bozeman didn't go over too well.
No, I'll bet.
If you were a Union sympathizer, you didn't like him. And if you were a Confederate, you were angry that this guy was not back with you fighting for the Stars and Bars. Kind of like a draft dodger, if you will, in those days.
So the town of Bozeman was founded while the Civil War was still raging?
Technically, yes. 1864. Civil War was still going on. But again, sympathizers from both sides of that were starting to come out here. Toss in on top of that, John Bozeman was pretty good looking. And he was tall and muscular, yada, yada, and he could turn the ladies' heads. Mm-hmm. So, if you were a Union sympathizer, you didn't like him. If you were a Confederate sympathizer, you didn't like him. If you had a wife, a daughter, or a girlfriend, you didn't like him. As far as we know, Mackenzie was his last name, may have been the only friend John Bozeman had. They had a motion on the table to change the name of the town to Montana City. And it lost by one vote.
Oh.
And the guy who cast the tie-breaking vote to keep it as Bozeman was W.W. Alderson. And from that day forward, he liked to call himself the one who named the town. Because it was his vote that kept it as Bozeman. So, yeah, John Bozeman was a controversial figure all the way up to his death in 1867. He and Tom Cover, ostensibly going into the Yellowstone Valley to negotiate some contracts with forts further along the Bozeman Trail. They stopped at Nelson Story's cow camp over pretty much where Livingston is now. Proceeded on the next morning, and then Cover comes back to the cow camp and says, "We got jumped by Indians, Blackfeet. John Bozeman's dead. I've been wounded in the shoulder. We shot it out from long range." Well, they examined his shoulder wound, and it had powder marks on it, suggesting pretty much self-inflicted.
Yeah.
They investigated the site. They couldn't find any traces of Indian ponies. We don't know for certain. There are some historians who think the Blackfeet were responsible, but chances are Tom Cover killed John Bozeman because he thought John Bozeman was becoming a little too friendly with Mrs. Cover. So anyhow, there's the town's namesake for you.
Good right there. Heavens.
So, yeah, he got the reputation as this brave, fearless explorer. Well, kind of yes, kind of no. He was basically following old Indian trails that had been there for hundreds of years when he started the Bozeman Trail. And then when he got to town here, he just didn't sit too well. On top of the things I mentioned earlier, he also liked to spend a lot of time in the saloon drinking whiskey and playing cards. You know, he didn't have a lot of get up and go.
So for some of the people who wanted to follow a stronger moral makeup of the mm-hmm. town, he didn't fit that mold either.
He really didn't. And that's what brought about the, gee, this guy's kind of a real so-and-so. Why don't we change the name? I think it's probably good that the name remained. It has more of a romantic tone to it than Montana City.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was extremely controversial, but he had a lot of company.
Yeah. So. Well, there you've mentioned a couple of the other town founders. So Daniel Rouse and W.W. Alderson. Mm-hmm. How about those personalities?
Well, Daniel Rouse was a northerner. How he felt about John Bozeman, we really don't know. But he was one of those drawn to the minefields. Anybody who came out in the mid to early 1860s was drawn by the possibility of getting gold. Rouse was one of those who was interested in the area near the Three Forks. And then after meeting John Bozeman and finding out about the potential here, he and Bell, William Bell, laid out this town, which back then didn't take a lot. It's just one or two streets. One goes east-west, but the others kind of go north-south. And then he stayed in this area and through the years was involved in quite a few things. Agriculture, obviously, kind of a town leader. He was one of those important in the community, but he was kind of a silent in the background, not a lot recorded
right.
on him. other than he was one of those who helped to lay out, start the town.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, for place names, I was interested to learn that Ida Street and Wallace Avenue were named for Rouse's daughter and son.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've got other street names around here who have been that have been named for developers, family names,
yeah.
that kind of thing. Or they've, you know, the thematic, you know,
yeah.
that kind of thing. But I was interested to hear that some of the first streets were named for Rouse's family.
Yeah. And, yeah, you didn't see that too often necessarily in other communities to have a woman acknowledged to such an extent.
Right.
Okay. Here in Bozeman, the one, we can get to that later, but the one major acknowledgement of a pioneer woman would be the Ellen Theater for Ellen's story.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But as proof that this was really a Republican town, later on, you've got Garfield, Arthur, Grant, all for Republican presidents.
Wow, that's
How about
amazing.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So Alderson seems pretty interesting too, and it's one of the you know, it's an old time street, right? It's one of the classic historic downtown Bozeman streets, but it seems kind of tucked away now. So who was W.W. Alderson?
Yeah, William Alderson. Once again, another guy from the north who came out 1864 with his brother John, initially headed for Virginia City in the gold fields. As I mentioned earlier, they got into the Gallatin Valley, met with Bell, met Rouse, took a look around, and changed their minds about going all the way to the gold fields and instead stayed here to establish farm. He planted and harvested one of the first, maybe the first, potato crop in the Gallatin Valley. And you might think today, potatoes, spuds, big deal. You know, they grow all over the place. In those days, you could grow potatoes and you could take them to the mining camps like Virginia City, Helena, Diamond City.
And make a mint.
Yeah, you could make quite a bit of money that people were willing to pay quite a bit. So Alderson was one of those. He was also an Indian agent for the Assiniboine tribe and a minister. He kept a pretty good diary from which we can garner a lot about early Bozeman. And a businessman, he was one of those who kind of diversified into several areas. He eventually obtained the Avant Courier newspaper. He was the head editor.
Okay.
And it was a pro-Republican paper throughout the years. His daughter-in-law, Mary Long Alderson, she was later on down the road in the 1890s, corresponded with Susan Anthony, Susan B. Anthony.
Wow.
A few times. She was really, she worked very, very hard for women's suffrage in the 1890s. And she had some allies, some other women here. And it was Alderson's newspaper, the Avant Courier, that noted as early as, 1893, that the state Republican Party came out in favor of women's suffrage.
That's great.
But as you well know, it took until 1920 for it to happen nationally. But it is interesting that Mary Long Alderson, Alderson's daughter-in-law, was quite a prominent suffragette here in Bozeman.
That is great. And I particularly love that Jeanette Rankin was elected to office from the state of Montana to the U.S. Congress, the first woman elected to Congress before women had earned the right to vote at the national level.
Yeah, so you could argue, based on all of that that occurred in the late 1800s, early 1900s, Montana, in a lot of ways, was a lot more forward-thinking. Montana, I think, had a greater recognition of the importance of women, not only on the frontier, but also overall in the community. They did, I think. So, and I think that helps explain Jeanette Rankin's success.
I think a state with fewer people, it's just all hands on deck.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the deal about Alderson. Very successful man, had a nice family, so forth and so on. He lived until, I think it was about 1914. I can't remember exactly the date of his death, but very influential guy here.
That's pretty great. So some of the other big names, Wilson Avenue originally was not Wilson Avenue.
No, it was Central Avenue. In those days, they didn't waste a lot of time trying to figure out the names of streets there, Jennifer. Let's see, this one is right in the middle of town. I know, we'll call it Central. All right.
And it crosses Main.
We got it figured out, baby. Let's go have a toast to this. So
tell me about Fred Wilson, though, because he is the namesake now of Wilson Avenue, right?
Well, technically, actually, Lester.
Oh, Lester Wilson.
Lester Wilson, his dad.
Oh.
Lester Wilson, we'll get to Fred in a minute, but Lester Wilson was from New York, joined the Union Army at the onset of the Civil War, worked his way up to become an officer, and rode with Sherman on his march through Georgia. And I believe he sustained, towards the end of the war, a kind of a minor wound. He was wounded, we think. Not 100% sure on that. But he recuperated at a home for Union vets in New York. And while he was there, met a woman, Emma Weeks. Very, very good musician. Excellent singing voice. He came out west initially, kind of took a look around at this area once the Civil War was over, liked it, and then went back and got her. And she came out here with him, and together they raised a family as well, one of their children being Fred, who went on to become the well-known, who you talked about, went on to become a very famous architect responsible for a lot of buildings, not only in the Bozeman area, but also throughout portions of the state. Lester Wilson was a merchant in the mercantile business, had a store in downtown, really, really quite successful. It's kind of interesting, a couple of things. With Lester Wilson, all of those people who were Union sympathizers, Union veterans and their families, they would shop at his store.
Okay.
The Southerners would go to Achilles Lammy. He was a Southerner. He was from Missouri. And I've been told he owned slaves during the Civil War, or prior to and into the Civil War.
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, he drew all the Southern business, and Lester drew all the Northern business.
Oh, so those devotions are strong, aren't they?
The wounds are difficult to heal. Emma Weeks Wilson, I'm surprised in many ways there aren't more things named for her, because in her, she had the first, she arranged for the first piano ever in the Gallatin Valley.
Wow.
Had it shipped via Fort Benton. She became known as the Songbird of Bozeman, because on summer days, in the early days of Bozeman, the Bannock tribe, as they had for hundreds of years, would come from the west, headed to the Yellowstone Valley to hunt buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, that for the American Indian, the Yellowstone Valley was Costco.
Right.
And they would come over, you know, stack up on buffalo meat and hides and all that, and then go back. So for several years, under the leadership of Chief Tendoy, they would come right down Main Street, the Bannock tribe, on their way to the Yellowstone Valley. They would spend a little time in town. They might have some horse races with the local cowboys. Emma Weeks Wilson loved to play the piano and sing, and she had a very good voice. And that piano playing and that singing would draw the Bannock to her house.
Oh, my gosh.
So imagine a bunch of American Indians surrounding and just listening and watching this house in Bozeman as this woman played the piano and sang. So that's one of those little tidbits.
That's amazing.
Of local history and the Wilson family. Very prominent, very important family.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. So you mentioned another woman for whom the Ellen Theater is named.
Mm-hmm.
What other local sites, streets, whatever else, are prominently named for?
To my knowledge, you mentioned, you know, for example, Ida Street. You have the Ellen. To my knowledge, nothing is named for Emma Weeks Wilson, which, as I said before, I kind of find somewhat amazing.
Yeah.
A hotel that's going in near downtown the Etha. Mm-hmm. That is technically named for one of the daughter-in-laws of Nelson Story. Okay. His oldest son, Bud, met this gal, Etha Mayo, distantly related to the Mayo Clinic people, distantly. But this came in the 1890s. Met her while he was attending business school in St. Louis. She came from a Southern family. Her dad fought for the Confederacy in the war. And after the war, they were from Louisiana. You could argue she was kind of a Southern belle. Mm-hmm. Kind of left the end of her sentences up in the air. But she was from St. Louis, socialite. She meets this cowboy type from Montana. They fall in love. They get married. And he brings her back to Bozeman. She kind of helped him a lot. She was somewhat in the background. But to make a long story short, she gained enough notoriety to where that major hotel downtown, slated to be done in a couple of years, is technically named for her.
That's amazing.
And beyond that, Jennifer, I can't think of any. It's one of those deals. After this interview is over, I'll probably think of something. And, oh, why did I forget that? But the Ellen Theater for Ellen Story, Nelson Story's wife.
That's great. So there are other prominent streets around here, and a lot of the pronunciations are a mystery to people. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, Bell Park,
yeah,
and Bell Center and Bell Street. A lot of people pronounce Beale.
Right.
I mean, you know, we like to look at the structure of a word and sound it out, but it's actually Bell. Who was Bell?
William Bell, one of those who, along with Daniel Elliott Rouse, laid out the town. Another one of those from the north who came out here chasing gold, was involved with Gallatin City, met John Bozeman, decided to stake his fortune, gamble on his future by coming down to this corner of the valley. While John Bozeman was bringing the wagon train up, he and Daniel Rouse laid out the town. Bell was also, to a great extent, something of an architect and a builder. He helped to build one of the first churches in town. He kind of had a hand in the construction of several of the area's early buildings. So he turned out to be something of a merchant, but he was also a builder. He was one of those a lot of people would turn to if they were trying to design a simple structure or they needed somebody to oversee the construction of a building. And this was in the real early days when all of your buildings were wood frame with maybe a false front to them,
right,
you know, along Main Street.
Yeah.
That was William Bell. I've heard Bell. I've heard Beale. To me, it's always been flip a coin. Or we can just call him Willie Boy and say the heck with it. But his wife, she left. She had been married before and was divorced by her husband, who took their two daughters back east. We don't know exactly what happened there, but she kept a lot of diaries about early Bozeman. She talked about how one time, what year was it? I want to say maybe 1865, they had trouble with the Sioux and the Cheyenne and the Yellowstone Valley near the Bozeman Pass. She wrote about how someone came out to their house and warned them, and she put the girls on a pony with herself at dark night, and they rode this pony into town to where they could get with everybody else to be safe. Riding in, how she thought everything that moved was an Indian. They heard the howl of wolves and coyotes and what have you. She kept a lot of interesting notes, interesting tales. Unofficially, the area's historian, so you can say that the Bells or Beals, it's not just for William. It's also for his wife, who was a great chronicler of this area.
That's pretty great.
Sarah, I'm pretty sure that was, you know, see, JP, the older you get, the tougher it is.
It was Rosa, actually.
Actually, yes.
Is it Rosa?
I believe so. I got to double check here. See, Rosa Van Vlierden. Van Vlierden was the name of her first husband. And exactly what split them up, we don't know. But, Rosa.
maybe experiences like riding in the dead of night with your two daughters on horseback, thinking that everything that moves is coming for you.
Well, her husband, Van Vlerden, was with them at the time, kind of leading the horse along. But
oh, good
still,
grief.
Still pitch black. You can remember how, you can imagine how difficult that would be. But then finally getting into town and joining everybody else and kind of huddling up and hiding. But if you dig a lot, especially with the Montana Historical Society, a lot of their early books, early tales of this area, a great deal of them were written by Mrs. Bell.
So I wanted to ask you also about some of the larger place names. Mm-hmm. And one of them is Gallatin County, mm-hmm. and the Gallatin River, named for Albert Gallatin.
Right. Secretary of the Treasury under Thomas Jefferson. You can credit that one to Lewis and Clark when they got out here in 1805 on their way to the Pacific. They named the three rivers that form the Missouri. The Jefferson, obviously, for President Jefferson. The Madison for Secretary of the State, James Madison. Mm-hmm. And the guy who put the money all together for the expedition, Albert Gallatin, that was the third river. So because of that, yeah, you have Gallatin this, Gallatin that. And that's a guy, obviously, who never came out here.
Right.
Never saw.
Yeah.
But he has all these things named for him. There's other communities in the country named for Albert Gallatin. You look, for example, also the Judith River in Montana. Clark named that for his sweetheart back in Virginia. And she never came out here. So you got this river and valley and all of that. Mountains named for a woman from Virginia. I guess she was impressed enough when he got home. She married him. Oh, you named a river after me, huh? You've been gone 2 years. And
that's pretty impressive. You know, just from the female perspective, I'd say if I had a river named after me.
Well, Lewis and Clark, they named everything. All of these places already had Indian names for the most part. But, God, you got to figure by the reason I think they decided to go home when they did, they ran out of names. Just kidding. Not true. But, yeah, always coming up with...
Well,
with
that they did hit the West Coast, so then you just, you know, retrace your steps going back. Right?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. But that's where the name Gallatin emulates from, is the Secretary of the Treasury under Thomas Jefferson.
So Gallatin was German-born?
Swiss, I believe.
Swiss-born? Okay.
Switzerland, I believe that was the deal.
Yeah. Well, anything else you can think of that comes to mind that, you know, is an interesting tidbit about local place names, local personalities?
Well, yeah. Black Avenue, that was for Leander Black, native of Kentucky. Went to Pike's Peak Gold Rush, didn't have much luck. Thought he had a bum mine, bad mine, so he sold it. And the people that bought the mine turned it into a fortune because he didn't really know what he was doing. Worked for some reservations in Nebraska, got some freighting contracts during the Civil War. That helped to build up his wealth. And he came up here to Montana eventually. The Cooper Black building still stands downtown. It was an armory / store.
Wow.
That Black and Walter Cooper, kind of a gunsmith guy, built. And Black invested in so many things, including Indian contracts with the Crow Nation, and like so many others, pretty strong accusations. He was a little underhanded with the government on that. He died in the 1880s. He went broke in the wake of the Panic of 1873. He was a business partner for a while in Nelson Story, but those two, after a while, you got two egomaniacs here. They couldn't get along.
They had a falling out?
Oh, big time, yeah. So that explains Black Avenue, Black's addition to Bozeman that was platted at about the time. Lindley Place, named for Joe Lindley, another guy from the Union, actually served in the Union Army, was wounded at Wilson Creek during the Civil War. That Missouri or Kansas? Doggone. I think that was in Missouri. But Joe made his way out west, was a cattleman, along the Shields River for a while, then got out of the cattle business and got into real estate and insurance here in Bozeman. He and his wife, Rachel, their home is now a bed and breakfast. Still stands over there on Lindley Place. Beyond him, I would have to say the biggie would be Nelson Story. Some historians have told me they feel like the town is misnamed. It should have been Story, Montana, Story Town, Montana, or Storyville, Montana.
Oh, my God.
Because of Nelson Story. Personally, I still like the name Bozeman better. But Nelson Story from Ohio, freighted for a while, did manual labor in the Fort Leavenworth, Kansas area. He was from the north, drawn to Kansas in the wake of the Kansas-Nebraska Act, where the government was basically going to allow the voters to decide if it was going to be a free or slave state. So a lot of people from the north went to Kansas to help keep it a free state. And then a lot of Missourians came in to try to make it a slave state.
Oh, my God.
One of those Missouri families, now we don't know if they were Southern sympathizers per se, but one of those families that came in from Missouri were the Trents. And Ellen was one of the girls in that family. So she and Nelson met, got married, lived in Denver briefly. He set up a merchant operation because of the Pikes Peak Gold Rush. Came up to Bannock. They got to Bannock and immediately came over to Virginia City, Alder Gulch. Ellen was one of the first white women in Alder Gulch. They lived in a canvas tent.
That must have been a pretty difficult scenario. A mighty full of men and, you know, the only woman and living in a tent in a mining camp with, long skirts. I always wonder how a woman does laundry in a situation like that.
Yeah, and then some of the women who moved into Alder Gulch were not the kind you wanted to bring home to mom and dad for Sunday supper. But that's another story. when they got to Bannock, after all those days on a wagon, and nobody was there, the town didn't look good. She got down from the wagon, looked at Nelson, and said, "This is what you brought us up here for? For this?" Yeah. But anyway, Nelson did quite well in Alder Gulch, eventually got a bunch of gold dust, went back, cashed it in for greenbacks, took the greenbacks, went down to Texas, got a herd of longhorns, brought them up along the Bozeman Trail, had a lot of fights with Indians doing so, gets them to the Yellowstone Valley, establishes his cattle herd. He too had contracts with the Crow Nation, kind of underhanded with a lot of aspects of it. In those days, the other people in town, realizing that government money was trickling into the community, as long as the Indians stayed on the reservation and weren't a problem, they didn't care.
Right.
You know, government money in a lot of ways built this town.
Yeah.
But I don't want to stray off course here. Story was one of those very successful capitalists on the frontier. He was one of those almost, you could to an extent compare him to Leland Stanford of California, Robert Iliff of Denver in northern Colorado. He was one of those who diversified very, very well. Cattle. He got into banking here, real estate, flour milling. When he sold his cattle herd, just before he sold his cattle herd, he and Ellen and the children were among our first snowbirds. They had a very nice home in Los Angeles in the Adams District. In those days, in the 1890s, the Adams District was kind of the hui polloi blue blood section of L.A. Mm-hmm. It's near the campus of the University of Southern California. Kind of a rough neighborhood now. I've been down there.
Yeah.
But back then, quite the nice place. And he made a lot of money, big deal of money, that he was able to let his sons take over, and eventually all that wealth trickled down in Los Angeles real estate at the corner of 6th and Broadway. If you're ever in downtown L.A., at the corner of 6th and Broadway still stands one of the earliest skyscrapers built before World War I. It's the Story Building.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, technically, it's the Walter Story Building, his youngest son.
Okay.
Who became a resident of Los Angeles, military guy, pretty shrewd businessman. Nelson helped him to build that. They also had a hand in the Los Angeles, the property that became the Los Angeles Stock Exchange and other properties in L.A. So they did quite well for themselves in Los Angeles. We talked at the beginning a little bit about the mansion he built. So he had a mansion up here. He had a pretty nice one down there. Ellen died in 1924, but she was a very superb pioneer woman. Mary Long Alderson was a very good friend of hers and mentioned that Ellen's story was not one to put on airs, as the saying in those mm-hmm. days goes. Her sons built the Ellen Theater right around World War I. The talkies were starting to come out, movies. Or not talkies, but just the films.
Right.
And you didn't have a lot of venues here in Bozeman for that. Opera House was still there, but they often had to turn people away from it. There were a few other smaller theaters, so they built this theater to accommodate traveling acts as well as some movies.
Right.
And that's how the Ellen Theater came to be. And so that's named for her. Her family kind of considers her to be the silent story because she didn't keep a diary. She didn't make a lot of noise, per se. But she was involved in various community endeavors and was really responsible for being something of a calming voice in the Story family because Nelson had one heck of a temper.
Oh.
He, when he was president of the bank, with the panic of 1893, he decided, I'm going to close the bank. It's a long story how he got there, but he said, I'm going to close this bank. And one of the board of directors, Dr. Foster, was later overheard telling somebody, you know, somebody I'll take that Nelson story out and hang him. He was just kidding, you know.
Right, but
a little bit of hyperbole.
You know.
Yeah, a little bit of hyperbole. But the word got back to Nelson's story. So next time Nelson bumped into Dr. Foster on the street, Nelson proceeds to beat the heck out of him with his walking cane. Dr. Foster threatens a lawsuit for assault. Nelson's story agrees to give him $20,000, which was a nice piece of change in the 1890s, to drop the whole thing. Foster agrees, he takes the money, and he builds Bozeman's first hospital. So Nelson's story's temper led indirectly to Bozeman's first hospital. You know, I mean, today it's Bozeman Deaconess. You could argue it should be Bozeman Nelson's Temper Hospital, something like that.
Oh my God.
Nelson's story, very, very important, very prominent in early Bozeman with the mill, all the people he had employed, the land he gave to help the Montana College of Agricultural and Mechanical Arts that today is MSU, very important. So I can see where some historians would think we ought to be Story Montana, but
here we are, Bozeman.
We are Bozeman, and ought to just leave it at that. So that's about all I can think of. There were a lot of characters, all kinds of different industries. It was for many, many years the quintessential Western type town. You had gunfights in bars. With the establishment of Fort Ellis in 1867, that's another example of how the government came to the rescue of Bozeman.
Right.
The gold mining surge was starting to ebb. The people of Bozeman saying they're in danger constantly of being attacked, the government not really buying into it, but they wanted to keep that flow of gold and silver coming out of Montana to the treasury, so they agreed to put in Fort Ellis. Well, once you got Fort Ellis in, the soldiers had to go someplace, the army had to go someplace to buy food, supplies, feed for their horses.
Right.
So, the soldiers needed a place when they were on leave, to go drink.
To seek entertainment.
To seek entertainment. Suddenly, with the establishment of Fort Ellis, it didn't take long. You had more bars than churches. And you had a pretty good growth in, shall we say, hotels for single girls.
Right.
that started to crop up, and they remained a fixture of Bozeman up until about World War I, actually. So, but Fort Ellis is an example. The land-grant college, another example. Look at the government money poured through the Crow Reservation, the Crow contracts. So Uncle Sam directly and indirectly had quite a bit to do with this. But Nelson's story was the chief engineer of the whole thing.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I was curious, too. So we have the old neighborhood names, like the Bonton District. Mm-hmm. Do you know how the name of that originated?
I can't remember who started the Bonton. I used to know, but it was basically a flower operation. They had a store downtown, and they kind of made, I think they made their own breads, their own foodstuffs. Who started it? I cannot remember. Before it was named Bozeman, the community initially was known as Jacob's Crossing.
Why is that?
Because of the frontiersman, the old fur trapper that John Bozeman met, Jacobs, who went with him that first time to try and bring up wagons on the Bozeman Trail.
Okay.
But he was kind of a shifty character. He faded into history, but this was technically Jacob's Crossing initially. So if you ever hear the name Jacobs, it just came from an old frontiersman / fur trapper who worked with John Bozeman.
Trailblazing.
New route. Yeah.
Wow.
That's Jacob's Crossing. We talked about pretty much all of the important streets. So, anyway.
Yeah.
That's about what I can think of.
Thanks, John.
You are welcome. Anytime.
This is J.P. Pomnikowski. My thanks to local Bozeman historian John Russell for his insights into the people for whom Bozeman and Gallatin County places are named. As part of the fabric of our community, our place names honor the founders and builders of our city. Our place names reflect the flora and fauna of our region, the names and of people and places in our state and in our culture. Hopefully you've learned a little more about what's in a name in Bozeman, Montana. My special thanks to Gail Schantzler's article of October 2, 2011 in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, and for selections from Phyllis Smith's book, Bozeman and the Gallatin Valley, A History. This is J.P. Pomnikowski.